At the turn of the 20th century, a name named Alfred was one of the best-known scientists and entrepreneurs of his day. He made his fortune by inventing and refining explosives. His most famous invention was dynamite. His intentions were that these explosives would be used for construction purposes, like building highways and building foundations of buildings. But what he discovered soon that this invention had a wider purpose. And soon, Alfred's invention was made selling his material and devices to the military. Towards the end of his life, Alfred began to ponder his legacy, tried to figure out what's all this about life. He soon realized that while his invention was meant for good and actually had been used for good, it's also true that his invention had equipped armies of the world to deliver new and improved forms of death and destruction. And he thought to himself, was this how I was to be remembered? So Alfred rewrote his will and used the bulk of his fortune to establish a series of international awards to be given each year to scientists, thinkers, and leaders who made a remarkable contribution to the betterment of humankind. That man's name was Alfred Nobel, and the most famous of his rewards were the Nobel Peace Prize, one of the highest honors bestowed on a human being. We've watched and heard about these Nobel Peace Prize winners. But one settling thing remains. After all these individuals have accomplished much, we are no closer to world peace, country peace, community peace, and in some ways, personal peace. The world as we know is still violent, volatile, and frightening as it ever has. Maybe even more. Peace continues to be one of the most elusive of all human ambitions. And so today, as we continue the story, and for those of you that are new today, the story is the story of God's, of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And today we are on chapter 24, and that is the story of Jesus, who was no ordinary man. And I didn't know what to say, because if you read chapter 24, I could preach 300 sermons with all of that material that was in there. There's so many good things. So what am I going to pull out? What can I preach about today that would exhibit Jesus as being no ordinary man? I struggled. I didn't know where to begin. In fact, I got a late start this week. But soon I realized, as I went to the Beatitudes, and I found myself going down the Beatitudes and stopping at Matthew 5, 9. And these words caught my heart and my attention. And it says this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, what Jesus says in these Beatitudes with this one verse, as he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he makes it almost sound like it's really possible that human beings can bring about peace between people and nations. Now, you and I have not got a Nobel Peace Prize. At least, anyone here have got one? Raise your hand. I don't think that I know of. All right, good. I want to make sure it was correct there. So we're not in that realm. What always wonders to me as I think about these kind of issues is, how can ordinary people like you and me make peace in this world? One of the things that I realized as I was looking at this is that I know that peacemaking always begins with a change of heart. But before we get there, I want to ask the question, who are the peacemakers? I want us to look at what Jesus did not say. He did not say, "Blessed are the peaceful, for they shall get a good night's sleep." I mean, peace of mind is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, we all want that. And peacemaking often begins with an inner peace. But Jesus was not pronouncing a blessing on peaceful people. Secondly, Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the peaceable, for nothing seems to bother them." He's not calling for us to be easygoing, like this, be happy, don't worry about anything kind of temperament. The thing I realize, everyone likes peaceable people, but they don't often change the world. Thirdly, Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the peace-loving, for they shall stay out of trouble." Now, we all love peace. We prefer it when people and nations get along, but there's more to peace than just avoiding conflict. So Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, "Blessed are the peaceful," or "Blessed are the peaceable," or "Blessed are the peace-loving." He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It's an active word. When we look at the Beatitudes, and if you go down through, one of the things I remember in college and seminary and Bible studies was this emphasis on the Beatitudes is this being instead of doing. Beatitudes suggest that this state of being. But one of the things that I notice when we come to verse 9, it's not about just being. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It's an active word. It implies initiative, intervention. It involves risk. In other words, peacemaking is not for cowards. We tend to think of peace as the opposite of war or the absence of conflict. But when Jesus uses the word peace here, I believe he has in mind, as we've been studying the Old Testament and now we're in the New Testament, this idea of peace. He goes back to the scripture. Jesus always went back to the Hebrew scripture. He always was quoting Hebrew scripture. He went back to this Hebrew word called shalom. Shalom. Shalom is much more than the absence of conflict. Shalom means wholeness and wellness. To experience shalom is to be in harmony with God and with others and with ourselves. The thing about shalom is this: it's global, yes, but it's also personal. It's vertical between people and God and us and God, yes, but it's also horizontal. Relationships among people. Shalom seems to suggest this idea that everything is in order. Everything is that it should be. It is to be rightly related to God and others so that God's gifts, this gift of shalom, would flow freely from us to others. So peacemakers then are those who actively and effectively extend God's shalom to the world, who spread the tent of God's blessing more than just the tent of me, but this tent of blessing that spreads out from us to others, so that more and more people might come under the shade of this shalom, this understanding of peace in a broader sense. One of the things that I discover about peacemaking is this. To be a peacemaker, you need to have a reaching heart. People with reaching hearts aren't satisfied just to enjoy God's shalom for themselves. They want to extend this to others. They want to spread the tent wider. As I think about the stories of Jesus, people call him the Prince of Peace. And at times, this narrow understanding of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, I decided this week, I'm like, I'm going to go look for the perfect text for today that will illustrate, will be my proof text that I can throw out to you today. Proof text that'll say that Jesus is a peacemaker. Don't get mad at me, but I couldn't find one. And as I'm looking for proof text, because that's what we like to do, we like to find something that's proof text. And I couldn't find a proof text to prove my point. And what I discovered is I was looking at a narrow sense of what that meant. And today and this week, I discovered again this idea that God, through Jesus Christ, was a peacemaker, but it wasn't about an episode. It wasn't about one story that you can pound home and say, this is the Prince of Peace. What I discovered this week and what I really knew, but it came to me again, is that this peacemaker idea was Jesus' whole being. It was who he was. It was his idea of proclaiming shalom in everything that he did, not just one story, but his whole life. And so I want to take a look at Jesus this morning and look at what he has done. First, Jesus was always noticing people. That's what I discovered. He was recognizing their deep need and their inner beauty. A widow on her way to the cemetery to bury her only son. A blind man by the side of the road. A man in a crowd with a withered hand. Children who were eager to be blessed. So Jesus was always noticing people. Secondly, he was always engaging people. Even people who didn't necessarily want to be engaged. Like the woman who snuck up to touch his robe, or the tax collector who was hiding in a tree, or the Samaritan woman who just wanted to be left alone to go and get some water at the well. Jesus reached out to them in conversation, not to embarrass them, not to put them on the spot, but to affirm them, to let them know that they mattered. And Jesus was always connecting people. He turned this unlikely assortment of disciples into a band of brothers who one day effectively changed the world one person at a time. Jesus partied with people that no one else wanted to party with: prostitutes, thieves, and drunks. He reached out across cultural barriers to engage Samaritans and Gentiles. He even invited women into a circle who normally had no place for public expression of faith and ministry. And lastly, what I see is Jesus consistently acted to meet people's needs, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, delivering those in bondage. Even when the needs were great, even when it got him in a little bit, or in some ways, a lot of trouble. So Jesus was the proof text of being a peacemaker, of this shalom. So what do we do? Now that we see how Jesus lived as a peacemaker, how do we do it? We're certainly not Jesus. Most of us aren't scientists, and most of us aren't politicians or authors. So how can ordinary people like you and me make this shalom, this peace in the world around us? One of the stumbling blocks that I've heard year after year after year, one of the things that kind of paralyzes us as we talk about this subject, is that we talk about peace in the macro understanding, the macro view, the view from afar. We like to talk about peace, and the Nobel Peace Prize winners have something tangible that they talk about. But what's interesting to me is Jesus did not operate from the macro level. He hung there in the micro. And when he did that, he was a peacemaker, one person at a time, in the opportunities that were afforded him as he walked along his journey. So what I've come to realize is this, is shalom, this Old Testament and New Testament understanding depends on common people, not political parties or armed struggles or carefully designed structures. It depends on us. But let me warn you, peacemaking can be messy. It can be risky. It can seem overwhelming at times. It can even seem impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So one of the things that I think about is when I think about the Beatitudes, along with this do attitude of Matthew 5, 9, about being an active peacemaker, I think we have to bring the Beatitudes together into one understanding, and the understanding is this, that the Beatitudes is instructing us to have a transformed, changed heart that takes us from all about us to reaching out, this reaching heart out. And that's why the Beatitudes, a lot of times we want to camp out into the being and understanding the changing of our heart. But it never stops there. It always is out there recognizing and engaging and helping. And whenever we see that happen, we get glimpses of that, we are seeing a changed heart, a reaching heart. If our hearts are not transformed, then all this peacemaking talk is not going to be very effective. So before we become peacemakers, we have to become people with Christ-like hearts. We have to be transformed from the inside out. So that our hearts naturally, it's just part of what we do on a daily basis. We have reaching hearts, reaching out to people. It's not something that takes a lot of effort. It's something that's inside of us. And as we watch the news, as we see the conflicts around the world, around this country, and around our community, we can be so overwhelmed. We can have paralysis by analysis. And so today I want to end with several stories that are illustrations of peacemaking, of active, more than just being. And the first one I want to say is a story that was in the Mennonite publication here in April. And I want to read just a little bit of the story. It says, there we were, standing in a prayer circle, holding hands. Not that unusual. What was extraordinary was that some of the hands we were holding were likely bloody. They were the hands of guerrillas, high-ranking, longtime members of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. And the writer goes on and says this, for me, this moment was especially significant. We were standing in a room in Bogota, Colombia, where 30 years earlier I was asked to teach a course on biblical foundations of nonviolence. He said two of those people in that class were in that prayer circle with us. He goes on, He says, as we were holding hands with these guerrillas and others, one, we had a common agenda that made this prayer circle possible. He said, both Mennonites and the FARC speak of a commitment to justice for all. Both speak of the critical role of faith communities as the backbone of any promise for implementation of peace. Both understood hope as a commitment to what is not seen, to be a key ingredient for the eventual success of a peace process. Both have demonstrated fierce persistence, patience, and commitment in spite of risk, suffering, and death. He goes on to say, it was also evident that these commonalities must not obscure some profound differences. The most profound difference surely is the strategy needed to move from where we are to where we hope to be. The FARC army had been dedicated to decades of armed resistance, killing, massacres, kidnapping, and obstruction of truth. And the Mennonites, in turn, had become even more and more convinced of the futility of violence, and that peace as a destination can only be achieved by a peace as a journey. And then he goes on to conclude with this. He says, as we closed our meeting and we closed in the circle of prayer, all our encounters with armed groups, be they guerrillas, paramilitary, or military, always ended with prayer. And then the writer goes on to say, 70 years ago, he said, Mennonites from the north came to share with us their understanding of the gospel. And he goes, what we are doing today, which would have seemed impossible even a year ago, is the fruits of the initiatives taken 70 years ago. And we are so grateful. And he said, then he led us an unforgettable prayer of commitment to the Prince of Peace. The macro and the micro coming together. I also remember to a time back in the late 70s, to the Iran hostage crisis. That to me was a micro level thing. Yes, I heard about it, and yes, people were talking about it. But that came into a micro level pretty quickly in our household. My oldest sister was attending University of Akron in Ohio. And she was a freshman. And for some unknown reason, I'm not sure how it happened, she had befriended some Iranians. Not just one or two, more like 8 to 10 to 12 to 14 of them. I'll never forget, it was near Thanksgiving. And the tension of the Iran hostage crisis was very, very raw. And my sister had this brilliant little idea. And that was, she said, Dad, I want to invite 12 or 14 of my Iranian friends for Thanksgiving dinner. I'm like, what? Iranians for Thanksgiving dinner? I waited for my dad's response. And my dad said what he always has said. Anyone is invited to our table. And there they were, threats on their lives, shuttled into our house on that Thanksgiving day, sitting down together at a meal. And my dad closed his eyes and gave thanks and asked for protection. That wasn't going to change the macro situation, no. But in that micro level, my sister, without really even knowing it, was being a peacemaker. Several weeks ago, months ago, this men's ministry at church had this crazy idea to start cutting and splitting firewood for families who needed heat in the winter. And they hooked up with New Hope Ministries in our community. Seemed like a lot of work. Were they going to get any calls? Soon, one after another after another, this men's ministry is now offering shalom. They're peacemakers as they deliver loads upon loads upon loads of firewood to people in our community who just need basic heat. Our Mennonotters, I think that's their new name, our Mennonotters, downstairs in their room and through other things, have a great opportunity to engage together and have great community. But they also buy their blankets and things that they send to MCC, Mennonite Central Committee. Their hard work and their efforts to do something simple and yet very impactful. They're offering. They're peacemakers. They are peacemakers in the fullest sense of the word as they offer shalom through their ministry. Yesterday, this place was bustling with all kinds of guests that came in for the spring fling. Whether they came in wheelchairs or walkers or other ways, this church exhibited peacemaking by giving them shalom, an opportunity for them in the midst of all their difficulties and life struggles to come in and to participate into an event where 60 plus guests were entertained and loved on and cared for. They were being peacemakers. They were sharing shalom to those in our community. As I was finishing up my sermon on Friday, I got interrupted. Now, can I just pause here? When I'm trying to get something done, I don't like getting interrupted. All right? I have a plan. I have a goal. But this gentleman yelled back to my office. No one was out front. And he says, "Anyone here?" And I said, "Yes, I'm here. Come back." He came back. And I have to tell you, this is how God works. It's kind of funny, okay? I was trying to rewrite this reaching heart part of my sermon and kind of not sure how that all working, this reaching heart, reaching out. And this guy walks in. And I didn't feel like reaching out. But something clicked. He walked in. All he wanted to do was say, "Hey, I'm working over at the apartments here, and I want to put a piece of equipment here, and I know how neighbors are, and people get really upset when you drop equipment into their area. So that's why I came in and see if that's okay." I could have said, "Yes, that's okay, thank you," and walked out. But God was working in me with his reaching heart. And so I asked a question. I asked a little bit about him. "Where are you from?" And for the next 20 minutes that some company was paying for, he shared his story. And he shared about his dad and his mom. He shared about when he went to Sunday school when he was little. He started sharing of some of the things going on in his life. See, God showed me in that sermon that I need to have a reaching heart also. That peacemaking is not in the narrowest sense that we sometimes want to put it. But through all of these stories, God, I believe, is stirring something inside of each one of us to not just enjoy shalom and peace for ourselves, but that we would spread that to those that we come in contact with. And here's the thing. You have so many opportunities every single day to extend that reaching heart out to those who so desperately need to hear it. And so when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," it wasn't just about being, though that's important. It was about doing. When you have a reaching heart beating within you, you can't help but spread shalom, being a peacemaker. Like Jesus, and we are called to be like Jesus, he's encouraging us to always looking for people to bring them closer to God, to share our story and hear their story. And so the question I want to end with today is this: are you prepared to ask God to change your heart so that you may become instruments of his peace? Because he says at the end of that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. That's how I want to be identified. How about you? Let us pray. Lord, as we think about the world around us, Lord, I pray that we are not paralyzed or maybe have no empathy because we hear so much. The news seems to be so bad, seems so hopeless, even on the edge of impossible. But Lord, we know that when you sent your son Jesus, you were putting a stamp that told us nothing is impossible with God. And I pray we as a church, individually and corporately, as we have exhibited peacemaking as a church family here, that we would continue those ways and we might bring more and more people into this community, that they can see we're not only people who be, but that we are people who do. Lord, I pray that you make us peacemakers in our circle of influence this week. I pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the Prince of Peace. Amen.